when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Listening, I was like, I knew I wanted to be wealthy when I was older, and I didn't know how I was going to achieve that. And I just found this common theme where people with wealth had done so through property or held a lot of property themselves as a place to store wealth.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Sharm, and in this episode, we're here with Zach Ristio, a South Australian-based property investor investing millions in his 20s. Providing the invaluable advice to our younger listeners, Ristio shares the value of a good first investment and the usefulness of sales experience. Plus, he reveals his own love for property podcasts. Only 27 years old and already a portfolio worth $3.7 million. Buying his first property at only 21 years old, he is an impressive role model to young listeners aspiring to get their own big property break. Inspired by this very podcast and others, if there is one person who can vouch for the usefulness of listening to fellow successful entrepreneurs and investors, it is Ristio, and he is keen to share his own tips and tricks. But first, he begins by telling us a bit about his typical day.
I suppose my day starts with an early gym session in the morning, followed by a dip in the ocean, and then an iced latte. And then I organize my day and break up my tasks by importance in descending order, sort of knock off the big tasks first thing and work back from there. And then the rest of my time is spent finding properties and speaking to clients and agents. And then I finish it with a nice afternoon walk. So that's a bit about my day and how I structure it.
That's pretty cool. So you mentioned you're quite close to a beach. So you go every morning for a swim or something like that?
Yeah, I grew up on the other side, on the western side of Adelaide. Sorry, no, let me rephrase that. I grew up on the eastern side of Adelaide. But in recent times, I have moved closer to the beach. So I'm within a few streets of it, which is nice. And ever since I've been close to the beach, I haven't looked back. The lifestyle it brings living near the beach is just irreplaceable for me now. I've traveled to a lot of places in the world, and I don't think there's a better place to sort of call home. And I find Adelaide just is nice and easy. It's quiet. The quality of life, stability, and just the ease of living is makes it really good. So yeah, no, I enjoyed it.
I totally agree. I was in Adelaide just last year. I don't think I've visited the beaches actually, now I'm thinking about it. But yeah, which suburb are you living down? Because I'll definitely have to go visit down there next time.
It's in Henley Beach, so it's one of the sort of the main suburbs on the beach. There's probably no Glenelg, Henley Beach. And yeah, so they're sort of pretty close to each other. So it's in that pocket there, which yeah, it's awesome. Where did you came down for work, or did what were you doing down here, Ty?
Yeah, I was down for work. I was pretty much living in LA City, so I was only maybe about a 10-minute bus drive into the city. Yeah, but Adelaide, so small, you can pretty much get to any part of LA pretty quickly in about 20 minutes or so.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. 20 minutes, you're on the other side, so it's easy. Not much traffic, so a very easy place to live.
Yeah, well, when I first went down, I went up West Head, I think it was. And I was living very close in front of a beachfront, but unfortunately at that time I couldn't really enjoy it. The reason why is because I got COVID, so I was stuck inside the whole house while I was, yeah. But I looked at it and I went, that looks beautiful, and I would have actually spent more time. But unfortunately, yeah, after I recovered, I had to go straight back home.
Next time you're down, Tyrone, you got to get a message with me. I'll show you all the good beaches, the good parts.
Unfortunately, Ristio did not pop out business ready like the Boss Baby. Sharing the details of his far more mellow childhood, Ristio shares his love for his home state, Adelaide. And he provides interesting criticism on the current schooling system and the value of its education when it comes to market success.
I've grown up here, and since day one I've been here. I've visited other places around the world, but just purely just out of sort of holidays and that. Yeah, I've spent all my life in Adelaide. And like I said, yeah, grew up on the eastern side and now transitioned to the west. And yeah, haven't looked back since.
Tell us a little bit about your child. What was that like? Do you remember what school was like, particularly maybe in primary school? Anything that stood out to you?
Yeah, I went to a school called Unley High School. I didn't love school, to be honest. I found there to be lots of subjects that didn't interest me too much, hence that probably reflected in my grades. I believe school should probably teach a bit more in regards to life-relevant topics like finances and health and communication skills, interviews and networking like this, and critical thinking, taxes. I find, in my opinion, school sort of teaches you a bit to become just a bit of a cog in a system, and it teaches you to really work for someone else and follow orders, regurgitate information rather than thinking for yourself, leading and creating. So I didn't love school, to be honest. I got through, but I was definitely looking beyond that.
Yeah. And I can relate, because when you think about it, the way that the school system is, it's been designed for industrialized age. So they want to teach you the basics and then learn all that. And then hopefully you go out to like a job, you know, become a specialist in a lawyer or engineering or whatever it is. Once you learn those skills, they expect you to stay in there for the rest of your life. But that's the old industrialized age or era. Now we're moving to, you know, the technology space and the information. Things have just completely changed. And then now with AI, it's going to completely change a lot of things. And therefore, a lot of the skills that we learned back at school probably might not even be relevant, because AI might just replace it.
You're right. So that was my school part. And then apart from that, there was sort of a five-year period during the age of 16 to 21 where there were three things which consumed 95% of my time. And that was, I was working full-time. I then started studying full-time. And then I was playing soccer at a semi-professional level. I'd go to work all day, go straight to soccer training, and then try and fit in a full-time finance degree in between all that. So any given day, you know, I'd be spending a couple of hours in the car driving to customers. So that was the initial sort of stage where I started listening to podcasts while I was in the car, a couple of hours a day. And I think my knowledge just grew in that area. And you can imagine doing something for a couple of hours a day and listening to the podcast for 4 or 5 years straight. I became pretty good at it. So that's where my initial knowledge came from, I suppose, in the property space. And that five-year period was, I call it the learning and earning stage of my life.
Yeah. So when you said those 5 years between 16 and 21, you didn't need to go to school, or were you still in high school but you're doing sort of part-time work?
It was as soon as I finished school that the full-time degree kicked in. I finished school pretty young. I was a younger for my year level. I think I was 17, year 12. So it was the full-time degree straight after that. But it was, yeah, the full-time work was pretty much all the way through. And then I was, like I said, I was playing soccer at a decent level. So that took up 20 hours of my week. So it was just these three things just nonstop. One after the other.
Fair enough. It's very busy once you get started work and also training and stuff. What kind of work was that?
That was in sales, which I recommend to anyone sort of starting out. If they don't know what to do, I would say sales is a good job. It's you gain skills which are transferable in any industry, and it's also a field where your income isn't capped. With most sales jobs, the more you work, the harder you work, the more sales you bring in, the more you get paid, essentially, which goes a long way when it comes to investing in property. If you can find jobs where your income isn't capped, it becomes very helpful. Your borrowing won't be stagnant for too long, which is what helped my journey, I find.
Coming up after the break, Ristio shares the courage it takes to make the leap into investing.
And it got to a point where I was 21 and there was some savings there. The knowledge had grown and I was ready to take the plunge into property.
He explains the invaluable lessons learned from past work experiences.
If I had a job where the income was stagnant for too long, I wouldn't probably have achieved what I have. So I liked it. It kept me investing. So I did that pretty much for, since recently. So it's been a good job.
He also reveals the importance of choosing a good property and how to do so.
And I bought a house on 700 square meters, 24 meter frontage opposite a reserve, and I paid 400k flat for it, which sounds funny now. 700 square meters, 12k from a major CBD, 400k. It does sound funny now, but that was the price at the time, and I jumped in, and it was an absolute cracker of a first buy, and it's grown significantly since I bought it in 2019.
And that's next. I'm Tarun Sharm, and you're listening to Property Investory. Although jumping straight into property investment is a more viable route for success, it may be advisable to begin with some transferable skills. Thus, Ristio explains how his work in sales foregrounded his path for success in property.
It's probably more than the negotiation side of things, and all about talking and understanding people's needs and wants, and that side of things has been really helpful. In regards to property knowledge, yeah, that probably came off from more just the self-learning, as I was talking about the podcast. Listening, I was like, I knew I wanted to be wealthy when I was older, and I didn't know how I was going to achieve that. And I just found this common theme where people with wealth had done so through property or held a lot of property themselves as a place to store wealth. So that was the sort of initial part of my life. And because I was doing those three things, I was just 95% of my time was spent doing this. I didn't have much time to spend my money. So I was accumulating quite a bit of money at the start. 90% of my pay was just getting stored away. It was being saved. I was living at home at the time. And it got to a point where I was 21, and there was some savings there. The knowledge had grown, and it was ready to take the plunge into, I was ready to take the plunge into property.
Yeah, that's great. And did you have any influence from parents into property, or were they in a completely different, profession, or were they actually all investors themselves?
They taught me sort of more my personal parents, they taught me the importance of good money habits more than anything, and looking after my money and not spending it on silly things. They were that great in that sense. But I suppose my interest in property was mainly just through self-education, through the podcast and through the books and that. And I started off by listening to just general investing podcasts and stuff, just about general money and whatnot, and then that grew into property investing when I learned sort of the powers of leverage and compounding could have for me at such a young age. And I've always been interested in property finance and how money works, hence why I stayed in uni. But they've sort of been my interests, and that led me down the property path.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about soccer. I'm curious now. What kind of sparked you, or got you into that kind of professional space that you're saying at that level?
Oh, that was I played soccer since I was 8 years old, and just progressed through the ranks. And it was from, I don't know, through dad used to play, and he put me out there and go kick the ball around, and then got better and better every year, and eventually got to a stage where I was in like a first team, like a semi professional sort of level, where it was like a part time job essentially, where I would get a bit of pocket money for it. It wasn't millions of dollars, but it was like a part-time job, yeah. So that kept me fit. It brought in a bit of money, so it was a pretty good gig. But the commitment side of things on there, it was pretty full on. I was training, three, four nights a week. Saturday was six hours playing a game, going to the games, coming home, and it was full on. So I enjoyed it. I loved it. I was my mates. So it was pretty cool. A pretty cool gig. That was sort of my soccer journey, I suppose.
Yeah, and it keeps you sort of one fit, but also too, it sounds like as long as you have passion, you're fun, it was enjoying it, it was something that you could pursue. Did you ever think about pursuing it even further to be up a completely different league, or you were happy to just to finish off and then pursue a career?
I didn't, probably there was not... Yeah, not really any sort of professional ambitions. It was more that soccer for me was just like a hobby. It was a fun thing on the side where it kept me fit, got to see my mates, and I got a bit of money from it. So those three things ticked the boxes. I wasn't sort of looking to progress any further. It was a good little setup I had where I was working full time and then had that soccer on the side at night time. So I liked that balance. That was a good balance in my life where I was getting the best of all worlds. So there was no sort of professional aspirations. I was just happy with where I was at.
That's awesome. And what position were you playing?
I was in the defense. I'm a bit of a taller guy, over 6 foot. So I was at the back stopping all the goals. Have you played any sports, Tyrone?
Yeah, I used to play soccer. I used to be a goalkeeper. So I used to be talking to the guys like you all the time. You'd be helping me defend the ball.
You're behind me. Yeah, that's right. If I stuffed up, you're the next in line.
If it gets past you, I'm out. I have to go and quickly get the ball. I'm like, why am I have to work? So, yeah, soccer has been one of my also passions as well. I didn't do it professionally. I just did it in high school. But after that, I went into dragon boating and also athletics and, yeah, those kind of things. But since then, I've been doing more. Like, as I'm getting older and stuff like that, I haven't been playing many team sports. I've been just doing some more hiking and a lot of traveling. So that kind of gets me fit and get me out and about, gets me out of trouble.
You look fit. Yeah, I was going to say, what do you do?
Hiking. it's good enough. Keeps me happy. So I guess from that journey, you're still very young, at 21. And did you continue to pursue a career in sales or did you jump into something else?
It was sales all the way through. Like I said, it was a good gig where the harder I worked, the more I got paid, and it wasn't capped. There was, I liked that side of it. It helped me to continue to invest and to continue to, keep moving forward. If I had a job where the income was stagnant for too long, I wouldn't probably have achieved what I have. So I liked it. It kept me investing. So I did that pretty much for since recently. So it's been a good job.
Yeah, that's great. So tell us a little bit about what's your typical day look like when it came to sales, not in your buyer's agent's business, but just in the sales at there. Were you be on the road all the time or you're on the phones? Like, what was your typical day look like?
I worked in a company where the head offices were in Melbourne, so I was here in South Australia by myself. So I would pretty much be, at the start, I was on the road for most of the day visiting customers. Hence why I was talking about those podcasts and all that. That was sort of the first initial phase of that job where I was just driving around most days, visiting people that were all over South Australia. And then that transitioned to a bit of more of a hybrid role where I was spending half my time at home on front of the computer and then the other half back on the road. So it was this balance of which I liked. I wasn't sitting in front of a desk 24/7, which I probably think I'd go mental if I was doing that. And it was this... It was this hybrid role where I was spending a bit of time out and but also a bit of time in front of the computer. So that was sort of what my day looked like in the sales position.
Okay. And from there, at what point did you jump into property? When was the turning point for that?
I suppose the first property, the first property I invested, that came at the age of 21. I had a bit of savings. I had a bit of knowledge and I thought, okay, it's time to take the plunge. So I started to start talking to people around me, as you do, and ended up speaking to a friend of a friend who showed me these apartments in the Adelaide CBD, and they were brand new apartments close to the CBD, flashy cafes underneath them, and they looked all cool and shiny from a property point of view. But through my learnings, I concluded, hang on, I wanted something with a land component to it, as land is what appreciates and the building is what depreciates. So the apartment when it gets my grain. So I told him thanks, but no thanks, and continue my search. And then for that first property, the criteria was, I wanted something which fit my budget, which was 400K at the time, something as close as possible to the CBD. And then I wanted an older home and a larger block where 95% of the purchase price, the value was going to be in the land. As I just mentioned, the land is what appreciates. So I wanted as much value in the land. And I also wanted something with subdivision potential, which I'll touch on a bit after, but had a bit of knowledge and people around me who were great in that field. And based on that criteria, I landed in a suburb 12 Ks northeast of the Adelaide CBD called Gillis Plains. And I bought a house on 700 square meters, 24-meter frontage opposite a reserve, and I paid 400K flat for it, which sounds funny now. 700 square meters, 12K from a major CBD, 400K. It does sound funny now. But that was the price at the time, and I jumped in, and it was an absolute cracker of a first buy, and it's grown significantly since I bought it in 2019.
For Aristio, a lot of the aforementioned time spent on the road was surprisingly spent listening to podcasts, much like this very one. Although at the time, they were a lot less popular. So he found himself ahead of the curve finding online mentors and role models to help inspire his incredible journey.
I'm not a huge book reader, to be honest. I read your typical Rich Dad, Poor Dads and all that, but majority of my learnings came from these podcasts, and They were pretty new back in the day, but they were slowly popping up. You guys have been around forever. I find a lot of property books are just, they're not too bad, but a lot of them were made a long time ago, and the information in them is a bit outdated. Property fundamentals stay the same, but things like talking about the finance side of things and that's always changing. So books are great to listen to people's journeys, but when it comes to sort of up-to-date property knowledge and information, that's why I prefer the podcasts. And the podcast that resonated with me the most were when you had people on that were, you know, in their 20s or 30s and not going to relate to that age, and they had built a successful property portfolio. I thought, oh, okay, I could do that. And you can see what's possible by listening to these people. So that's where my learnings came from.
That's great. And it's very inspirational to hear. So thank you so much for coming on as well and sharing your story, because it really inspires others as well too. I was just curious, because a lot of the stuff we don't talk about the details, and that was intentional for this podcast. It's more about inspirational and story. Where did you learn all the details? Because not many young people just go out and have the confidence to just go and buy a property. You know, there's negotiation involved. There's research that you got to do. You got to also understand how finance and how to get, you know, banking and so forth. So there's a lot to it before buying a property. And for you to be able to brought that property at 21, you know, congrats. It's just a great effort.
Yeah, no, literally, Tyrone, the amount of research I did, it's like, it was literally like 2 hours a day for 4 or 5 years straight. Like, that's, people do that and they get a degree at the end of it. I was just doing this on the side. So like, it was just knowledge coming in left, right and center through. Yeah. So that is literally where 90% of my knowledge came from. My father-in-law is a very good town planner here in South Australia. So he taught me lots in regards to the development side of things and that. So he's been a big help in that sense. But majority of it is literally just my self-learning, just listening to things like this, Tyrone. It sounds crazy, but yeah, it's the reality of it.
Well, experience is definitely better than just only have knowledge. You need to have both. So you've obviously picked up very, very much both on that side of things. Is that why you also chose to look at properties for subdivision? Because your uncle, who also has experience in town planning, sort of gave you the idea, or did you decided or came that idea from somewhere else?
Yeah, he definitely helped on that side of things. And my father-in-law, he's a well-regarded town planner here in SA. And he just taught me all the things to look out for when it comes to subdivision in regards to square meterage you needs and council zonings, which is all accessible online. But things like frontages, street trees, trees on the land, slopes of the block, and all the things you need to look out for there. There is quite a bit in that space. I wouldn't recommend it for someone just starting out, but I did have this helping hand, so I was able to lean on him, and he was guiding me through that process. So he was very helpful in that space. If it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have bought something with subdivision potential. But because of that, it's just allowed me to do that. And subdivision isn't an essential sort of requirement for investors, but it's just something that just turbocharges the journey, and it's just a powerful lever you can pull at any time of your investing journey, essentially.
In the next episode of Property Investory, Zach Aristio emphasized the importance of choosing a good first property.
It was a very good first purchase. I'll stress the importance of your first buy being a good one that will just catapult you into the further properties. And But if you get your first one wrong, it would just sort of put you back by 5-10 years. So the importance of, yeah, that first one being good is very important. I can't stress that enough.
He explains how we can find the silver lined opportunities.
And people with all this extra credit, they've been printing like crazy to the government. What's going to happen? It's going to transfer into assets and goods when the world opens up again. So we identified this opportunity and thought, okay, we can see property sort of going up a bit quite here. And acted, and the second property was purchased in the middle of COVID. And
he reveals the moment it all changed for him.
Probably that the third property was the aha moment, because we'd gotten to a stage where we had acquired two properties already, and then there was essentially enough equity in that first property where we didn't have to contribute much of our own money for a deposit for that third one. It was like, okay, here, this is the power of compounding and leverage, and that clicked.
And that's next time on Property Investory.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.